This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is back with me on Monday. The new initiative spearheaded by the National League of Cities aims to get more children, especially kids in urban areas, out into nature. Madison was recently chosen as one of seven cities to participate in that program. Joining us now to talk about the initiative and the benefits that access to the outdoors has for kids, for people in general, for the community at large, we have Mary Michaud. She's the Policy Director for Public Health Madison in Dane County. Mary, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Rob.
Well, give us the basics. Exciting grant, I assume, for your department. So tell us about the initiative and what it's trying to accomplish.
Sure. So this is a partnership, really. We in public health know that big health problems can't be approached without partnership. So almost everything we do is in partnership with other folks in the community. So this one is really a key partnership in our city with the City of Madison Parks Department. We also have leadership from Alder Rebecca Kemble from the north side. So it's been great to explore how we can move this initiative forward. The Children in Nature Network is an organization that was started within the last decade by Richard Louv. He's an author of Last Child in the Woods. Some of you might find that
familiar. We've heard him here on the network, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Children in Nature Network teamed up with the National League of Cities to really look at the issue of connecting urban children, as you said, to nature. Now, the important thing, I think, is we're really focused on equity. So what does that mean? It means that all children deserve the chance to learn, to grow, and to establish a connection with nature. And sometimes living in a city, that's not so easy.
Let's, before we get into the details of how this will work, let's talk more about some of the benefits. What do kids get out of having access to some kind of green space or some kind of nature, and what do they miss if they don't have that access?
It's a great question, and I think a lot of us kind of recognize the obvious things. There's the physical activity. Mm-hmm. We have a real challenge in our country, and it's not unique to Madison at all, but a challenge of obesity and overweight among young people as well as adults. So that physical activity is really critical. We also have not so obvious benefits. So some of those include the fact that as kids, we use our senses to learn. So there's learning benefits. There's cognitive benefits that come from hands-on participation with the things you're learning about. The mental health benefits can be really profound. And there's more and more research coming out that really talks about restorative spaces. So if you think about kids who might live in apartments, for example, or kids who live in more crowded housing, a lot of kids are finding themselves having to be in noise, and we have media around us all the time. They hardly ever get to be around quiet spaces. And some of those quiet spaces are really only found in the middle of the woods or out in a small park where no one's around and you can just hear the birds. It comes down to being a restorative place for kids who have a lot of busyness in their lives.
So some people might hear this and think, okay, great. Everybody send your kid to a park. End of story. Why do we need to plan and develop this program for it? Why isn't it that simple?
Right. So there are a lot of historic barriers for everybody to participate in nature. Some of us go to a park and don't think a second time about it. For African Americans, I think there's a long history of not feeling welcome in certain places. For Latinos, feeling like they may not belong in certain communities, that's a historical legacy that it's really up to us to change. So being aware of those kinds of systemic and sort of long-standing biases is going to help us make some changes for kids. The other piece, I think, is getting kids involved in particular is one of the focus areas for this initiative to tell us how they want their future to look. How do we engage kids to really shape their green spaces and the nearby nature they have? So that's a big focus.
We're talking to Mary Michaud. She's Policy Director for Public Health Madison and Dane County, talking about a new program, a grant aimed at getting more kids, especially in urban areas, out into green space, out into parks, out into a little bit of nature and the benefits of doing that. And Mary, I want to follow up on that point, getting kids themselves involved in planning. So why is that important and how are you going to do that?
Right. So we have an event tomorrow at Warner Park, which is on Madison's north side. If you haven't been there, it's a stunning park with 200 acres and conservation land, as well as a really well-equipped community center. It's really a unique property here in the city of Madison that we're proud of. So at that event, we're going to ask a really diverse group of folks to tell us what works. What are our assets in the community around getting kids into nature? What are some of the barriers that we face? We'll have a big group of kids there to help us articulate that. And then what are our dreams? So building on that, we're going to have part of the grant is going to pay for kids this summer to be doing youth engagement. So going out, asking kids where they already are, right, in camps or in other kinds of programs, what do you think you want your green spaces to look like, and what would make them attractive to you? It's really not hard to get kids into those spaces if you make it easy for them. It's something they're naturally drawn to. Their curiosity kind of overcomes any other barrier. So it's going to be a fun summer getting kids to lead that effort.
You mentioning bringing the community on board to help plan this reminds me that a benefit people have pointed to is that having that that park maybe as a gathering place, as a place where people go, it actually builds community resilience because people gather there. Maybe for a birthday party, maybe even nothing that formal. You just see other kids, you see other parents at the park.
That's right. And that's especially important for intergenerational connection. A lot of times we see older adults who are isolated, and who brings them out? It's the kids. So part of what we're hearing from a lot of different places, and especially from kids, is let's design schoolyards, for example, to be nature-based play places, right? So that right there, right nearby, you can access nature in a way that maybe you couldn't when it was either asphalt or just a sort of a flat mown field, right? Much more interesting tactile sensory environments for kids to learn and play. The other piece is that a lot of what we do in public health, if not everything, is research driven. What's the evidence that tells us that this kind of change will make a difference in childhood obesity rates, right? In mental health over time, in kids' ability to use nature as a life skill. So we're looking closely at the evidence that's emerging. And what you do find is that communities with lots of exposure to green space and places for that restorative piece to happen, they find fewer violent crimes going on. They find people feel safer in their communities. A lot of community connectedness happens, as you pointed out, Rob. So we're looking closely at that evidence base.
And when people talk about getting kids into nature, I think the image that pops into my mind is out to the woods, out of the city completely, to a natural landscape. But there's evidence you're saying that even just that, you know, one block or smaller park can be part of the solution here?
Exactly. You don't have to have a grand vista, as we say. You don't have to have a really big space. What you do need is some complexity that you don't have to make a lot of effort to have draw kids in, right? It's that sort of lack of effort that's needed to draw you into the curiousness, the wonder, if you will. Taking kids outside in the dark and looking up at the stars can really fundamentally change where they see themselves in the world. So nearby, just great. But that quality of sort of wonder is something that kids often miss.
Now, but a green space, does there have to be green? I mean, because there have been parks that have been asphalt and gravel and, I don't know, maybe a couple trees here and there, but that's it. Is it important to really have a majority of the space be not man-made, not rock?
It can certainly be a combination. And a lot of people are actually drawn to water. You know, spending time on water is incredibly helpful for folks and oftentimes therapeutic.
So blue space and green space.
Right, water space. The other piece I think that you're pointing out is that design is important. So the built environment, as we say, is really critical for shaping how people spend their time, the way they feel about themselves and their neighborhoods. And this sort of connection to nature should, and we say, should be an essential piece of what we find in cities. So a nature-rich city is really what we're after.
We're talking about getting kids outside into even a little piece of nature, like the neighborhood park. Mary Michaud is with us. She's policy director for Public Health Madison in Dane County. A new initiative picked Madison as one of seven cities around the country, part of an effort to figure out what's going to work, what's going to provide this kind of space and access to that space for kids of all ethnic and economic backgrounds. We want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. How important do you think this is for kids, for your kids, for your childhood? Do you try to get your kids outside more? What do we lose when we don't have these opportunities? What's going on in your town, your city, your neighborhood? Do you see kids playing at the park? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation about the health benefits and other benefits of getting outdoors, especially for kids. Madison was recently named as part of the Cities Connecting Children to Nature initiative, one of seven cities around the country. The initiative aims to encourage children, especially in urban areas, to get outside and into parks and green space. Mary Michaud is policy director for Public Health Madison in Dane County, and we're talking about why getting outdoors is good for our health and the well-being of our communities. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like kids today have enough opportunity, enough places to go, enough friendly landscapes to get outside? What did you get as a kid or for your kids out of having those kind of parks, wild areas to get out in? Call in now. Tell us what's going on in your part of the state, in your schools, baby. Call 800-642-1234 or visit the Central Time Facebook page. Go right to a caller. We've got Maddie on the line in Waupaca. Maddie, hi.
Hi. Joy Cardine had a guy on her show on March 2nd, and he did eye research, and he said that the children are not getting enough daylight in their eyes, and it's actually affecting the shape of their eyes. And he said that more and more, there are going to be more and more kids that are going to be nearsighted. And during the growing years up to the age of 25, he said it's absolutely vital that they get daylight in their eyes.
Maddie, thanks for that call. So you were starting to get into some of the health benefits, some really specific health benefits, I guess, of getting outside.
Right. And I mean, if it's a great point, Maddie, and I think that if you think about how we've evolved as humans, right, it's only in the last couple of hundred years that we've lived in really urban areas, only in the last 2 years that most of the world is living in urban areas. So we had lots of green space around us over time. And it turns out that we're really programmed that way to sort of have this affinity for green space and affinity for nature. If you ask a room full of people, tell me a place that you really feel at peace, chances are most of them are going to say somewhere in nature, right? So it's pretty profound, and so much more of the research now is focused on really testing those theories, and it's turning out to be true.
Maddie, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We heard from Julie in Toma, who couldn't stay on the line, but she said this sounds like a great opportunity. She says there are lots of outdoor options for her boys in Toma, and she notices differences in their behavior when they don't spend as much time outside. Definitely as a parent, I've been there when the kids are cooped up too long because of weather or something like that. You just need that little bit of time outside. So physical benefits, community benefits, behavioral benefits too, it sounds like. Mary.
It's true. So we see a pretty big rise, too, in what we call autism spectrum disorders. We see a rise in attention differences among children. Part of that's diagnosis, but part of it's very real. And what you see is that time outside for kids with sensory differences or attention differences, right, can really be beneficial in helping them adapt when they come back inside. It helps remove that fatigue from focusing. It takes effort, and it turns out that time in nature and that heavy work, we call it, that sort of big motor play, mm-hmm. can really calm kids so that they can actually turn to things like reading or math or things that require small motor skills like tactile skills. So it can be really helpful for those kids as well.
Talking to Mary Michaud, Policy Director for Public Health Madison and Dane County, talking about efforts to get kids outside. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. Do you notice a difference when kids are have time outside in nature and when they don't? What's happening in your community? Are there enough parks for kids to get out and play in? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You mentioned earlier, Mary, access, equity, making sure people have access to these parks in their own neighborhoods. When you talk about race in Wisconsin and in Madison, a disparity is a word that comes up a lot. Education, income, you were mentioning earlier, health. So how does that play into this discussion?
It plays in quite profoundly. So one of the efforts we're trying to make through this initiative is to really connect to organizations that have local trust. So organizations that have been in the community a long time that serve children and families of color can incorporate, and in many cases already are incorporating these kinds of activities, but it's a tough thing to put enough resources together to do that well, right? Transportation is often the issue. We see the Aldo Leopold Nature Center doing really, really good things in terms of in-reach into the schools and then providing transportation, too. We see parks doing that. We see the Madison School and Community Recreation Programming doing that. So there are a lot of efforts being made. They're not particularly well coordinated, and I don't think anybody would argue that that's the case. And it's not unique to Madison. What we do have is over 260 Madison parks. It's astounding. We have 5,500 acres of parkland with 19 conservation parks. This is an unbelievable asset in our community, and to use that to its full extent for healing, for physical well-being, and for community building is really a key goal of what we're trying to do.
Let's bring our callers back in. We've got Richard on the line in Huntsley, Illinois. Richard, hi.
Hi. Well, I've been an educator of preschool children for 30 years as a parent. And also, I was just listening, and I really enjoy this, but what I'm saying is that I spent a great deal amount of time outdoors as an environmental education teacher, but I don't see anybody outdoors anymore, unless it's a sport, unless it's driven in a car, and then you get and you go, and to me, I don't see it happening.
Richard, thanks for that call. So people talk about over-programmed kids sometimes, and he said he only sees kids outside for maybe that organized sports league. Is that part of the goal here, to have that unstructured time where you just go out and be outside?
It certainly is. I think, you know, and I'm a parent, too, of two fabulous kids who might be listening right now. It's really important to have us take a moment and build that free, unstructured playtime into our kids' lives and really make that possible. There's so many distractions. There's so many expectations already. I think the other thing is to look for resources in your community, and certainly we have them here. Community Groundworks is an organization locally that trains teachers to take kids out and get hands-on education experiences in their own schoolyards. And it's been really pretty powerful to see that learning community of teachers grow and expand now that Community Groundworks is running a statewide initiative, a school garden initiative in Wisconsin people might like to know about, that's funded through a grant. It's actually a health grant through the Wisconsin Partnership Program. So we see a lot of resources coming back, and it's really encouraging to see.
I talk to a lot of public health researchers on the show here, and it seems like there's this trend to try to think more holistically. The health isn't just making sure the vaccinations happen and talking about diet, but it's reaching out to make sure that the community is a healthy place. So that sounds like you're trying to be part of that equation.
That's exactly right, and really moving what we say upstream in sort of the things that affect our health. It turns out that really only 20% or so of our health is shaped by health care, sort of formal health care services. The socioeconomic conditions we find ourselves in, the built environment, those are really, really important. Health care can kind of be what I say the protein on the plate, if you will. Mm-hmm. When you need it, it needs to be really good and high quality. And those periodic checks are incredibly important. But for kids, most of the time, they're out in the world, right? So we're profoundly aware of food insecurity as a problem in our community. We're really very aware of housing instability. Over 1,000 children in our community have suffered housing insecurity in this last year, where they have to move from place to place. So they still need to play. They still need that, that sort of nature as a life skill, right? That they can go somewhere and find peace. So the other piece is, can they get involved in something where they really feel good about their leadership and that they belong? So that youth engagement piece, this is a great place for us to start that.
Well, I'm probably looking too far ahead here because this is still in the planning stages in some ways. You're just getting the ball rolling. But is the hope here that this isn't just Madison and the other six cities, but that this is going to form a template for other communities around the country?
That's exactly right. And I think that's the vision of the Children in Nature Network, the National League of Cities, working together with partners at the federal level to really discover what we can do to shape the way kids spend their time differently.
I get the sense, if I could ask kind of a personal question, that you're really excited about this. That's not even a question, a statement. But yes, you are?
I am. I grew up out in the country, rural Wisconsin, with four brothers and a sister. And my dad was a naturalist. So this is just a part of my life. And it's one of the sort of self-interested reasons is that the people who tend to choose this path, you know who you are out there, of environmental education, of choosing to spend time with kids and families, are really a great crew. It's a great crowd of people, and they live in the present very much. So I have a lot of affinity for this community, and it's really up to our kids. It's their future, and we need to give them voice.
That's a good place to leave it, Mary. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Mary Michaud. She's Policy Director for Public Health, Madison, and Dane County. Been talking about Madison's role in a nationwide initiative that aims to get kids outside and into nature more. Still time, by the way, to share your stories over at the Central Time Facebook page. What was your natural space? What was your green space growing up? What is it for your kids these days? Is there enough of it? I'm Rob Ferret. News is next on Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.